I'm Femi OK. On this episode of The Stream, we are going to be looking at how Afghans who fled to the United States are faring. So we need to recap on what happened in the past 12 months. So let us start in August of 2021. On the 15th, the Taliban completed its takeover of Afghanistan. Just 15 days later, US troops complete their withdrawal, ending a 20-year war. In September of last year, 76,000 Afghans, may well have been more, were evacuated to the US and temporarily placed in military bases. And that brings us right up to date to where we are now, where thousands of Afghans are struggling as they remain in legal limbo in the United States. I know you are going to have questions. So YouTube is active. The comment section is live right now. Be part of today's discussion. It is good to see our lineup of Afghans telling us what it has been like in the past year for Afghans who fled to the United States. Hello, Rash, Nagina, Hilal. So thankful for you sharing your experiences with us. Arash, welcome back to the stream. Can you remind our audience who you are, what you do?
Hi, everyone, and thanks for having me on again. My name is Arash, and I'm a community organizer. Currently based out of Los Angeles, but what I do is build community, and for the past year or so, that has meant welcoming almost 80,000 of our new neighbors, people like Nagina and Hilal.
Nagina, welcome to the stream. Would you introduce yourself to our audience, tell them who you are and how you got to the United States, in a sentence, if that's possible, because we're going to explore that story in more detail in a moment.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for having me in your program. I came last year from Afghanistan, and actually it was not a direct flight from Afghanistan. I left Afghanistan in 21 of August in 2021, and I went to Doha for 3 days. And after that, I evacuated to Albania and stayed for 7 months, and then evacuated to Virginia. 1 month in the National Conference Center, and then the settle to New Orleans.
That's an extraordinary journey. Thank you, Nagina, for joining us on the show. And Hilal, welcome to the stream. Will you tell our audience who you are and what you're currently doing in your new home of the United States?
Thank you very much, Femi, for having me in your program today. I am Hilal Masumi. I am a women's rights advocate. I'm joining you today from the DMV area. I came to the United States just like Nagina last year on August 21st. I got into the airport in Kabul, and I got here around 23rd of August. I've been advocating for the rights of my people right now in D.C. I've been advocating for the women's right and the people who are left behind in Afghanistan.
We are asking on this program, guests, how are Afghans faring in the United States? The ones who fled from Afghanistan are now trying to make America their home. Arash, if you had to use a word, what word would you use to describe this past year of the work you've been doing?
It's been extremely challenging. It's been a year full of challenges in which we have welcomed 80,000 new people. You know, it's really heartening to see 80,000 people from my home country, but they are here. And quite honestly, they face tremendous challenges. And they're in 49 states, plus Washington, D.C. But the amount of difficulties they face as they try to integrate and start a new life has been disappointing. And we have not seen enough support for our community. It's been left to actually the Afghan American community itself and the Afghan diaspora to help new arrivals integrate, find jobs, find housing, find affordable housing, find affordable healthcare, and that's been tremendously difficult.
Hilal, if you could put some bones on that word that Arash used, which was challenging, can you tell us one aspect of your relocation that is incredibly challenging that you're still trying to navigate right now?
Well, if I go with myself, the experiences that I had since last August was the experiences which I have never experienced and was the worst experience of my life. The experience of getting out of Afghanistan was traumatic and very hard and difficult to explain in 30 minutes. But I can say that since I came to the USA, I have been dealing with the bureaucratic barriers that have been there, and I'm struggling to get over with it. For example, it was really hard for me to get a social security number, a work permit, and or apply for asylum. Now imagine that I'm someone who knows English, who knows about the culture of USA, and who have traveled a lot of countries. But imagine 79,000 people who arrived to the USA, and they don't have slightest idea about any of those, and they face all these problems and do not know how to solve all of them.
On YouTube, there's some empathy where people are watching and understanding that it must be really difficult. So Fumi says, of course it's not going to be easy. Even Americans aren't finding it easy. The American government should do more. They are causing this problem anyway. Nagina, how much help are you getting from the US government? Because at some point when you move, there's a certain amount of money that you get. And then how long does that money last?
Thank you so much. I want to add some more sentences regarding Hello John and also Arshan.
Sure.
I think last year it was a dark year for Afghanistan and also the people of Afghanistan, and also for those people who left the country like me, and also thousands of people who are waiting for their cases in other countries in the camps, like Abu Dhabi, Albania, and many other countries. They are waiting for process their cases and also their people to come to the United States or other countries. It was really hard for me, like as a woman activist in Afghanistan, women leaders, and also as a prosecutor for elimination of violence against women in Afghanistan, as a professor of law. It was really hard for me to put all of and leave all of my achievements and also my all of works in Afghanistan and just get one backpack and also left the country. And it was really not easy during my staying in Afghanistan. It was just 1 week when the Taliban took over all of the country, and I was in Afghanistan in Kabul. So it was really stressful trauma for all of us, and we didn't know what will happen to our future, our fate, and also for our families. Then when I entered to the airport, it was not also easy because the crowd and also the shouting and the people. When I entered to the airport, I stayed 4 nights in that place without food and also without anything. You can imagine we slept like in the street, and there was crowd of people. You can see children and also women, men.
Nagina,
were so scary.
Nagina, you're describing this so vividly. Does this haunt you? Is this a nightmare that continues to revisit you? Because I'm thinking now, this is 1 year later. Does it still stay with you? Can you forget that moment?
Of course not. I think it will be for all of my life. I can't forget the day that the Kabul and collapsed, and also the Afghanistan and Taliban took over that day. I was in my office when I heard like the Taliban took over the country, and still I remember it's like a nightmare for me when I'm thinking about those women and girls who are in Afghanistan and they don't have the right to go to school, and also they deprived of education. Every day I woke up with the news from Afghanistan and also like see what is going on in Afghanistan regarding the women.
I also want to add on Nagina's point. I totally agree that the trauma of couple of days of the fall of Afghanistan is going to stay with every single Afghan for the rest of their lives. It's a moment, it was a day that they not only lost their countries, homelands, but they lost their families, their friends, their jobs, their entire life. Wherever they went, they had to start everything from zero again. Whether it was their education, their resettlement, their work, everything. But then when we came to the U.S., as people who were allies to the U.S., we came to the US, but we had to, and we are still struggling with a lot of things that are happening, and starting from renting a place for ourselves to continuing to go with our jobs. It's extremely hard, extremely challenging, but I'm more than sure that there are a lot of people who care. There are a lot of organizations who are trying their best to make it easier for the new arrivals to continue their lives as smoothly as possible.
I'm just looking at what Adam is saying on YouTube. Adam is saying, I'm pretty sure I would struggle if I was sent to Afghanistan and had to learn how to live there compared to the way that I lived in the United States. So there's the challenge of learning a new culture, all of the bureaucracy of that new culture, and today we got this headline. And let me show it to you here on my laptop. The US ends one immigration pathway for Afghan evacuees, shifting to long-term strategy. So the way that Nagina and Hilal got to the United States, it's called humanitarian parole. It's not a typical way for asylum seekers to get citizenship. It's an emergency measure. That emergency measure is stopping on October the 1st. We reached out to several people in our big network and asked them what impact that might have. Arash, will you have a listen to this? And I'd love you to pick up off the back of these videos. Let's take a look.
This sounds like another way of closing the door on vulnerable Afghans. So while we hope that Afghans can come here through fast pathways that lead to permanent status, we are concerned that the government is choosing not to use one of the pathways that could quickly bring people to safety.
Today's announcement about the end of Operation Allies Welcome and the end to the Afghan Humanitarian Parole Program is absolutely devastating. It's devastating for those of us who've been working to evacuate and resettle Afghans for over a year, but it's really devastating to the Afghans who've been left behind. The Humanitarian Parole Program is not perfect. It could be a lot better, but it's been the only tool available to at-risk Afghans to get them out of harm's way and onto a path of safety. What the government's now proposing those Afghans do is turn to programs like the SIV program that are limited in scope and already severely backlogged. I'm really concerned now that the at-risk Afghans that we've left behind are not going to be able to survive long enough to take advantage of the programs that the government is now trying to push them into. This is going to be an absolute catastrophe.
Yeah, I hear that, and I woke up to this news this morning, and it's hard to contain my anger to it, to be quite fair, because the pathway that existed for Afghans to come to this country, at-risk Afghans, people like Nagin and Hilal John, who stood by America for the past 20 years, you know, that pathway was barely open in the first place. The SIV program, you know, folks who work with the United States military.
Yeah, that's a special 70- immigrant visa program.
Yeah, correct. And there's 74,000 people in that pipeline who are still awaiting processing an eventual evacuation and relocation to the United States. There's 66,000 humanitarian parole applications, of which only 123 out of 66,000, 123 have been accepted, while this administration has collected $20 million in fees from our Afghan-American community, one that is deeply under-resourced, by the way, and so it's deeply frustrating to see the administration close the door that was barely open to at-risk and vulnerable Afghans in the first place.
I'd like to add some points on Arash, what Arash was saying. There's also the discrimination which is going on among the Ukrainian refugees and Afghan refugees. If I don't mention it, I wouldn't. I'm not mentioning it because I'm criticizing or I'm putting the blame on Ukrainian refugees. The way that Afghans were brought into the United States were the process itself was humiliating, and the policies which were made towards Afghans were shaming too. The Afghans were standing by the U.S. The government of U.S. and trying to implement the U.S. policies in Afghanistan for 20 years. And these are the allies who stood there to protect all Americans who went to Afghanistan. And now they have come to USA, but they're being treated differently than the Ukrainian refugees, and they're being discriminated against. which is not, I don't think it's fair.
Yeah, I want to add some points regarding what Hello John said. I'm like kind of, when I left Afghanistan, I was not sure and I didn't know where will I go. And like, you know, I entered the airplane and I didn't know my future and also my distance, my destination, like the next destination. And then I went to Doha. So after Doha, we went to Albania for 7 months. During the 7 months, I see the people, many of the people who were with their families and some of the people, those people who left their families in Afghanistan and they came like me alone. So they were so stressed and also under trauma and depression. And even in that time, we didn't know what will happen for our future and also our destination.
Excuse me one moment, because we're getting lots of comments from our audience as well. What is your current status? So you describe this sense of not knowing what's going to happen in your future. What's your current status living in the United States right now?
So after 7 months, so when the DHS came to the Albania, so they finished our paper and came to Virginia. Even in that time, I stayed one month in a National Conference Center in Virginia and to finish my paperwork, even biometric and other things. So it was really hard for all of us. So as a refugee, we lost our country. We lost, like, you know, friends, families, and everything, all of achievements and stayed, like, for bureaucracy. And a very tough process to, like, you know, finish our paperwork. So now I think it's also really hard for those people who are living in camps, like Abu Dhabi, even they are not, they don't have, like, you know, the right to go outside of the camp. And they are in depression and also they are really stressful and they don't know what will happen to their future, which country will accept them. And the U.S. Also, I think they had, like, the U.S. will not bring them to the United States. It's a lot, another challenging for their families and also many of those children and also children, they are deprived of school and they don't know what will happen to their future. This is a very stressful and also trauma for all of us. Losing country on one side and also being in this long process on another side. We see the difference between Ukrainian and also Afghan refugees.
All right, Nagina, you're not the only person who's seen that difference between what Afghans are going through and what Ukrainians are going through. I want to introduce you to Najib Amini. He is part of a group of investigative journalists. He spoke to a program called Democracy Now! Quite recently, and he made it very clear that there is a distinct difference between Ukrainians who are seeking asylum and Afghans. Let's take a look.
Why are people paying $575 for an application fee when Ukrainians are offered a different program where there is no fee? I mean, that comes down to a decision made by the Biden administration to say, for Afghans, this is the path for humanitarian parole, but for Ukrainians, this is the path for humanitarian parole. The discrepancy or the idea that here's a program that rolled out months after the departure from Kabul, and it's still only being applied for Ukrainians, whereas Afghans are still in this, you know, state of limbo. I just think a lot of people in this community, in this diaspora, legal advocates, they just have a lot of questions.
So, hello. I want to take you back to last July. I'm going to give you the exact date. This is July the 8th. This is U.S. President Joe Biden making a promise. Have a listen to this promise. Tell me what you think about if he's delivered on it.
We're also going to continue to make sure that we take on the Afghan nationals who work side by side with U.S. forces, including interpreters and translators. Our message to those women and men is clear. There is a home for you in the United States, if you so choose, and we will stand with you just as you stood with us.
Well, I listened to this speech of Joe Biden last year when he was delivering the speech. But then since I came to the U.S., I see how all these promises are not fulfilled, let alone be everything that he said, but not even close to all those people who stood by the USA, were brought to the USA. And even if those who came to the USA, they're still struggling with a legal status. as Arash Jan said a few minutes ago, people who are applying for humanitarian parole visas from Afghanistan, only 100, around 100 of those applications were accepted out of 66,000 applications. But when we look at the asylum cases, it's the same thing going on with asylum cases. Mm. People who have applied for asylum cases are more than 40,000 people who came recently from Afghanistan, and the only applications who were accepted were around 270. How did that explain the situation? It says that people who came here with humanitarian parole visas, their visas are going to expire next year, and they have no other way to settle here. Either they have to go back or apply for asylum. And these asylum meetings, I am an asylee in here. I got my asylum approved, and I'm one of the luckiest ones. But my asylum interview, it started at 8 a.m. and it ended at 3 p.m. It's a long interview, and they ask you a lot of questions, and they ask you for a lot of documentations to prove what you're saying is right. But these people who came to the USA, they only came with one backpack, like myself. And so many people burned their documents, burned their pictures, and all those that they could prove it that they were right. Just because they were scared of Taliban and they were scared for their lives.
Hello, John. I would add, you know, like, people burned their documents, but the United States has adjusted parole and given a pathway to immigrant and diaspora populations in the past. It's done so for the Cubans, it's done so for Iraqis, it's done so for the Vietnamese. And right now, in front of Congress, there's bipartisan, bicameral legislation that would fix this problem. So people like Nagina and Hilal do not have to undergo their trauma once yet again at a USCIS asylum process, but where they can just fill out an application with no fees, and that they can start their life and journey here in America.
So that process is called, Arash, if I may just jump in here for a bit, just to add a little bit more to what you're saying. The Afghan Adjustment Act could solve all the issues pretty much immediately. How often can we say that? But this is an instant solution. Earlier, we spoke to Krish, and this is what she told us about that.
The bottom line is that the U.S. made a promise of protection, and it's struggling to keep that promise. Passing the Afghan Adjustment Act would give our new Afghan neighbors some real support to apply directly for permanent residence, just like the U.S. has done for every other modern wartime evacuee population. These are the allies of America's longest war, and they deserve more than red tape and bureaucratic hurdles. Passing the Afghan Adjustment Act is how we keep our promise, how we live up to our values, and it's how we stand by those who stood with us.
So on YouTube, guest Muna says, they deserve, Afghans deserve U.S. citizenship. They helped NATO against the Taliban. They risked their lives. The U.S. wastes so much tax income for the military that it is involved in producing refugees abroad instead of supporting U.S. citizens. And there are very few refugees that the U.S. has to support. I'm just wondering, just very briefly, in the last 1 minute of our show, Hilal, how have you been treated in the U.S.? The bureaucracy sounds hellish, but how about the people?
Well, first of all, I want to add, I want to say, like, to Mona, who wrote this comment, that I hope that the U.S. government thought the same way that you're thinking right now. Regarding the treatment from the American citizens, I was surprised and shocked with the great treatment that we received from the people of U.S. I myself stay with the Haas family right now. They are so lovely, so heartwarming, and so kind to me. And from the first day, which was on January, that I'm staying with them till now.
Okay.
And I'm more...
Hilal, that is where we're going to leave it on a more positive note. But the bureaucracy and the legal system has to be sorted out for Afghans who are currently in legal limbo in the United States. Thank you, Hilal, Nagina, Arash, and for all of your comments and questions on YouTube. I'll see you next time. Take care.